Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go, hour two. It's a Friday live in Los Angeles. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio and right here on FS1. Can't wait to have on Rashad Jennings, former New York Giant. What a mess they are. Eric Mangini will be joining us this hour. Jordan Palmer, who coached Sam Darnold and Josh Allen last hour. And Joy Taylor is joining me, of course, Joy. A very exciting time. You know, I have always been very altruistic. I like to make America money.
You do. You like to spread it around.
Yeah, a little Robin Hood quality. I like to help people. And Daddy buy new kicks. That's the whole thing. So we spend a lot of time on this. We care a lot. We came off a great week. Here we go this Friday. This is our Blazing Five.
That's a hot one.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing Five. Browns at Cowboys.
I'll take Dallas -5.5. First, Dak Prescott against really good competition. Rams and the Seahawks, good numbers this year. He's always been a good home quarterback since the beginning of last year. His quarterback rating at home was 108.8. And their offense right now, number one in the league. But this is about the Browns' defense. It's allowed 7 touchdown passes of 10-plus air yards this year, most in the NFL. I think there's a lot of points in this game, and I don't know if Cleveland can keep up because they're more of a running team. Cleveland's back end worries me. And what do we know about Cleveland? They beat Cincinnati with a rookie quarterback and Washington with kind of a rookie quarterback if you consider starts. How good are they? Dallas, this is a major step up in competition for Cleveland. They went to Seattle and got down to the last play against the Seahawks and went down in Los Angeles. A pass interference call is the only difference losing to the Rams. I think Dallas is the better team. There's a lot of points. I'll easily swallow the 5.5. Cowboys win 33-26.
Colts at Bears.
Like it, I love it. Bears getting points at home. I think they're the better team. I think Matt Nagy, the coach, wanted to start Nick Foles 3 weeks ago, but the GM wouldn't let him. Matt Nagy gets his quarterback, Nick Foles. Lets it rip, big arm, big games. This is the coach's kid. He wants this guy, and he went and got him in the offseason. How good are the Colts? They lost to the Jaguars and beat the crappy Vikings and the really crappy Jets. What are they? Good old line, old quarterback. And I worry because the Bears' defense is number 2 in the league in getting offenses off the field on third down. I think here I get a clever coach who finally has his quarterback. I get points. I'm at home. I like the Foles magic to continue. 24-23, Bears over the Colts.
Seahawks at Dolphins.
Favorite pick of the week. I love Miami +6. Russell Wilson may save the day, but here's why. Miami gets 3 days of extra prep time because they were on Thursday Night Football. That is huge because I think it's a very good coaching staff, and staffs that are good take advantage of it. Seattle has the furthest trip you can make in America after dramatic wins. They've been in wildly dramatic wins over Dallas and New England. Ryan Fitzpatrick is very good when comfortable, and Seattle makes every quarterback comfortable because they have no pass rush. And the Dolphins are also playing clean football. One of 2 teams in the NFL that have not had a turnover in 2 weeks. Green Bay's the other. Dolphins defense can get after you. The Seahawks offensive line's a mess. I think Russell Wilson may come in and save the day late, but in warm, sticky weather, long trip for Seattle, I will take the 6 points. Seattle wins 27-26.
Chargers at Buccaneers.
This is a lot of points. I'll take Tom Brady and the Bucs -7. This game's about comfort versus discomfort. Tom Brady against the Chargers defense that's without Ingram, Derwin James. They don't take the ball away since the beginning of last year. Derwin James is their best defensive player. So you don't have 2 studs for them. That means Tom Brady getting more comfortable at home is comfortable. Meanwhile, Justin Herbert will face a defense for Tampa that gets a pass rush with only 4, the first or second best linebacking core in the league. You cannot run on the Bucs defense. Number two in yards per play allowed in the NFL. 4.5 yards per play. That is it. Justin Herbert gets yards but has struggled in the red zone. Chargers settling for field goals. He will be uncomfortable all day. I believe Todd Bowles is the best current coordinator in the NFL. And I think Tampa has the best or second best linebacking core. Justin Herbert. The Chargers have only one of three teams to score 20 or less. Brady's going to be comfortable. Justin Herbert's going to be uncomfortable. And it's the defense of Tampa that will decide the game, not the offense. It's the defense that will shut down and create turnovers for a short field. I'll take Tampa 33-23.
Bills and Raiders.
This is an easy one. I'll take Buffalo -3. There is no home field advantage anymore, so it's basically a neutral field. I get the better quarterback, the better coach, and the significantly better defense. There are a lot of people that think Buffalo's a top four team in this league. A lot of coaches are really on Buffalo. Their offense is number two passing. The offense the last 2 years, look at the leap in their offense. Josh Allen's emergence. This is now an elite offense. The Raiders' run defense is 30th. They can't get you off the field. Again, maybe if it's the second home game for the Raiders in Vegas and it's a wild crowd, it's different. But this is almost a neutral field. This is a Buffalo team that is well coached, will force the Raiders to play real defense because they press the ball down the field. Buffalo wins this game 32-27. I think it could get worse than this. But it's at least this, 32-27 Bills. So I don't take a lot of favorites. I like underdogs a lot, but I'm going to take Dallas as a favorite, Buffalo as a favorite, and Tampa Bay as a favorite. And I got a couple of dogs. I take the Bears at home plus 2.5 points, and I'm also going to take Miami to cover plus 6 at home. The furthest trip in the NFL, is Seattle to Miami. By the way, for more on my Blazing 5 picks, please check out the Fox Bet social platforms after this segment. You'll understand why. So I want to show you something. This is about psychology in football. Pro Football Focus came out really fascinating. They went and looked at all 32 starting quarterbacks. I love this. This is one of the sometimes they get into the weeds on offensive guards. Well, I can't go there. Yeah, it's guards. But when they do the quarterback stuff and they grade them on every throw, it's fascinating. And they took all 32 quarterbacks and they found their weakness over the last year or two. And everybody's weakness, some are kind of, I'll give you a couple of them. Most of them you can see with your eyes. A Derek Carr, for example, Pro Football Focus says, it appears aggressiveness is his problem. Well, that's what we've talked about for 2 years. He's very accurate, but the average depth of target is like 6.9, meaning he just doesn't let it rip, despite good weapons. Aaron Rodgers, they say, is you can disguise coverage. And again, they're nitpicking with Aaron, but if you disguise coverage, it can give him some problems. Dak Prescott, and I think this is something I believe, high volume games, when you ask him to throw 42 times, are not his strength. That's not what he is. I think we've talked about that before. But the Baker Mayfield one is fascinating. Pocket presence. And I'm going to read it for our radio audience too. Even in college, Mayfield vacated too many clean pockets, played outside of structure more than he should have. But that weakness has been exacerbated in the NFL last 2 years. Since 2019, he has 37 plays in which he took himself out of rhythm. He vacated a clean pocket, and he has just a 28.5 passing grade to show for it. So what does that say? Well, let me first talk about Baker Mayfield. This is one of the things I like about him, is that he was told he was too short. He was told he didn't have this. He had to walk on in college. That is a garden variety overachiever in America. Therapists see that all day. Therapists see that guy, that woman over and over. He's an overachiever, and I love that. Head down, little trash talk, big ego, quiet as critics. I'm going to burrow right through the wall that you're putting up for me, and I love that about him. That is really his core strength. He's going to tell you exactly how he feels, and he's never had the support he quite wants. And in Cleveland, you could make an argument, maybe that personality helped him a tad. He got drafted, though, number one, and got a bunch of commercials, and he's never quite been the athlete that he thinks he is. So I do think he's a little, he's in his feels right now. He feels pretty good. But what happens to you when you have a chip on your shoulder and you are very self-reliant and you want to prove you can do it? But what happens in life when you do get support? You do marry a great girl. You do get a smart coach. You do get Pro Football Focus's third best offensive line. Pro Football Focus's best running back duo. And above average support at wide receiver and tight end. What made Baker Mayfield a fascinating 30 for 30, he's a two-time walk-on, wins the Heisman, goes to the NFL, number one draft pick. He's a little short. He doesn't look like number one draft picks. He doesn't walk into a room and you're like, oh, Cam Newton. All right, that's a number one draft pick. That is his psychology. But how do you pivot when you do marry the perfect girl and you do get the right coach and you do get the best running backs and you do get an elite offensive line and you don't have to be self-reliant? You don't put your head down. You put your head up and recognize, I've got all this support. Oh, my God, I've got all this support in life. This is what psychologists see on their couch all day. It is the pivot, and it's really hard to ask people in their 20s to do it, especially when they got $25 million in the bank. Baker Mayfield, what got him to the NFL, he's got to pivot out of that. He's got to pivot out of that. He has got to realize, I got great support at home. I got great support on the team. I got great support from the staff. I got great support running backs. I got great support wide receivers. It is a tough pivot for 50-year-olds. What made him may now be his biggest issue. He's got great support. Can he step back and go, it's not all about me. I don't have to win games. I don't have to throw 40 times. I don't have anything to prove. Turn, hand it off, and manage an incredible support system. Can he do it? Certainly possible. But it is interesting that Pro Football Focus found he's leaving. His knock is he's got a clean pocket. He's out of there. That's his psychology, which is when you're self-reliant, have to put your head down, live a life of critics, know everybody doubts you. You want to prove I can do it. I don't need help. I'll do it myself. I'll walk on. I'll win the job at Oklahoma. I'll win the Heisman. I'm number one pick. It's going to be a really interesting pivot because I think right now he's got unbelievable support. Offensive line, wide receiver, tight end, running back. And I think Kevin Stefanski's a pretty good coach, has realized this is what he is. Let's manage it. Can Baker manage it? Because I think the team is telling him that's all we need you to do now. We'll get to the playoffs. Just manage all this talent and support. Coming up next, Rashad Jennings, New York Giants. I think the two New York teams are going to draft 1 and 2 in the NFL. And if I'm the Giants, I'm moving off Daniel Jones. And if I'm the Jets, I have to strongly consider it. That's coming up.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Comes to reaching health goals, change your mind and your habits. It's about Noom. Free trial today. Get started. Noom.com/Herd. Check it out. Not just about exterior forces, it's about you with Noom. Rashad Jennings played in the NFL for almost a decade, played with the Giants, the Raiders, New York Times best-selling author. He's got these kid books. They're really popular. The Coin Slot Chronicles, young adult book series. Arcade and the Dazzling Truth Detector is his latest. They've done really, really well. He's also a Dancing with the Stars champ. Quite a life. He is joining us now via the Coward Global Satellite Network. Having played in New York and Jacksonville, Jacksonville's one of the most laid-back markets. New York's one of the most intense markets. And Daniel Jones and Darnold, I think Darnold's the better talent, but they could be the two worst teams in the league, and you've played in that city. If Trevor Lawrence is available and they have the number one and number two pick, do you think they move off their young quarterbacks and go get what appears to be the best prospect in about a decade in college football?
Yeah, I would say no. Well, first, thanks for having me on.
You bet.
I always get a kick every time I hear Dancing with the Stars. It trips me out. But yeah, I wouldn't if I'm in a position to. Yeah, Trevor Lawrence is a generational quarterback. I don't think the Giants go get him because they already have a quarterback in hand, as well as the Jets. One, and the reason why, to attest and agree with you about the support system, we talk about Eli Manning will be a Hall of Famer. In 2014, he was drafted to the New York Giants, and they had a great support system. Daniel Jones was drafted to the in 2019 to the Giants, while the guy that you're mentioning that came in with a great support system was leaving with no support system. You see what I'm saying? So I think that they have a quarterback that can play football very well. Yes, he has a lot of growth ahead of him. He's young. I think he's eager. I think he has the wherewithal. I think he has the poise. I think he has the skill set to be a great quarterback for the New York Giants. However, the support system is not there, and we know that. And it's going to take some time, especially, you know, you're losing your top back. But, you know, every great running back, barring Barry Sanders himself, I always say this, every great running back runs the same when there's nowhere to run. And, you know, that goes, again, to the support system. And so there's a few things that the Giants are going to want to take focus on. And continue to focus on this season, but definitely during the off season. But the quarterback position is not one of them.
You know, it's interesting. Cam Newton was in kind of trouble in Carolina. 0-for-8 in his last starts, more picks than touchdowns. And it was Ron Rivera didn't even bring him up to Washington. He took his backup, and he didn't have much of a market for Cam at all. And then New England takes him. Doesn't pay him anything. And I'm listening to him talk, and I'm watching him play, and he's completely refocused talking about support system. He sounds different. He's much more serious. He's much more tuned in. And it's interesting because you went, when you were with the Giants, and then you go to the Jaguars, I'm kind of blown away by Cam. It's like a transformation of his personality. How surprised are you by that?
I'm happy for Cam. You know, I'm a person that, to be honest, I thought Cam didn't have it in his tank anymore. But I'm also a Cam fan, so I was saying I hope he proves me wrong. You know, I really, really do. And he has. He's been out there. He's doing what's necessary to win football games for his team. The team is taking him in. I think coordinator has done a great job of putting him in position. You know, they don't have their feature running back right now. They're still trying to get inside of the system. I mean, Cam's a new quarterback in a brand new system, and I think they're doing well. And they still get to ride on Belichick's knowledge, and that defense is playing well enough for them to win. So they're playing team football, as the Patriots always does. But I think he's elevated his game. You can see some more calmness in him. You can see more playfulness in him. And he's being himself. So I'm enjoying watching Cam this season.
Yeah, mechanics have improved. You know, Dallas, Dak said yesterday, he said, we want to get in shootouts. That's who we are. We're going to pass the ball. And I think of Zeke, and I think, gosh, you paid the guy $100-something million, and you're not using him. And Dallas is actually 35-15 when they've given Zeke the ball just 15 times in his career. They're better that way. Were you ever a running back, and talk about Dallas specifically, that you thought the offense you were in at some point was unbalanced and it fell in love with the passing game? Because it feels like Dallas is getting there to me.
Yeah, I think a lot of teams have been falling to the pass game and leaning on it. And I understand why. I get it. It's explosive. It's fun. It's big chunk of yards. Your guys are not getting beat up as much. But I have seen, and I've been part of teams where they've got away from the run game. And it depends on how your team is built, right? If you have a Hall of Famer quarterback under center with a scheme that can sling the football, do it. But if you have a run game that is sound, run it, you know, and create balance. And it's difficult for offensive coordinators to bang their head and figure out how to stop the pass game. It really is. But when you can establish a run game, as far every team I've ever been a part of, and from peewee all the way to high school, college, to the NFL, one of the first things they tell you when you walk inside of a team meeting, is say that we need to establish a run game and stop the run. Those are the two most dominant ways to win a football game. Then you start talking about pass game. Then you start talking about special teams. I think the Cowboys are one that feel that they have a very talented quarterback. They have a stacked receiver core. Again, as I said before, I feel like, and I don't mean this in any disrespect, but I say the Cowboys are a watered down version of the Kansas City Chiefs. And if you can get that pass game going, you can savor one of your top backs later in the season when you're going to need him to wear people down. Especially, you got to think long term, being in the bubble, being he didn't have a preseason this year. You know, guys may potentially that didn't work out as hard wear down later in the season. So you want to have your bullets packed.
Yeah, that's really smart. Speaking of Kansas City, you watch them on Monday night just disassemble the Baltimore Ravens. It's, you know, as a pro athlete, as somebody who played in this game, do they look like anything you've ever seen offensively?
Nah, they're doing something special. And I tell you what, man, Patrick Mahomes, he's showing why he's the highest paid football player ever to play the game so far. He's different, man. He can do it all. He can stand in the pocket. He can get out of the pocket. He moves the center of the field so well. Like, they could be on the right hash, and he actually runs a sweep to put them on the left hash so he can pass the ball. Like, he moves the pocket. I honestly would love to talk to the offensive coordinator. I really think that they purposely move the pocket and tell the offensive line to block strong on the right and weak on the left, just so they can roll out. And it messes with the offense. Think about that as a defensive coordinator. How do you really game plan for somebody that's rolling out of the pocket and creating a new line of scrimmage? But I think that's partly what they're doing. and Andy Reid ain't going to share that, but he's special. He's setting a bar very high. We all knew that he was capable of that when we first saw him touch the field, his second year in. And, you know, but far as I don't think they're stoppable at this point. You know, where are they weak other than their defense, but they're going to score probably 100 points on you.
Yeah. Rashad Jennings, almost a decade in the NFL. I want to show you the book one more time. Arcade and the Dazzling Truth Detector. It's a new book release. Final installment of his Coin Slot Chronicles young adult book series. This guy's done it all. Dancing with the Stars. A 7th-round draft pick out of Liberty. What a life he's led. We love having him on, Rashad. Great seeing you again, man. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Always. Look forward to seeing y'all next time.
All right. Good stuff. Here's Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Tom Brady will be without two of his top weapons Sunday against the Chargers. Bruce Arians announced that both Chris Godwin and Leonard Fournette are out. Godwin has been dealing with a hamstring injury, and Fournette missed practice this week with an ankle injury.
I knew that before my Blazing 5 pick, but they're deep now at running back and wide receiver, so I'm good with it.
Scotty Miller is also dealing with a hip injury, but he returned to practice today. He's likely to be listed as questionable for Sunday. As you mentioned, they are near Blazing 5. They will be hosting the Los Angeles Chargers. Fox Bet has Tampa at -7. You've picked Tampa to cover.
I think this game's about defense. I think Tampa's defense is like Pittsburgh's. They get you off the field. They put a lot of pressure on without blitzing, and I think Justin Herbert's going to be overwhelmed. I don't think Brady's going to be the story. I think Justin Herbert's going to really struggle. I could see them just settling for 4 or 5 field goals, Chargers not being able to get in the end zone all day.
Well, I mean, we know that Tampa's defense is kind of the untold story
of the league,
and certainly of that team, because we're putting so much focus on what Tom Brady is doing this year. And I mean, we pretty much knew Chris Godwin wasn't going to be available. Leonard Fournette is more the news here, but as you said, they have so many other weapons. And we've talked about this earlier this week. It's not a good thing, obviously. You want Chris Godwin out there. He's a huge piece for them, but
I wouldn't risk an injury when you've got.
You have Mike Evans, so maybe get him a few
Scotty
more.
Scotty Miller, 3 good tight ends.
You have passes.
Still have Shady McCoy and Ronald Jones. You're fine. Weapons is not an issue there.
No. The Packers are dealing with another injury at wide receiver. Alan Lazard reportedly had a core muscle surgery this week and will be out indefinitely. Last week against the Saints, Lazard had the best game of his career.
Yeah.
Six receptions, 146 yards, and a touchdown with Davante Adams out. Davante is dealing with a hamstring injury. He was limited in practice yesterday.
Could have drafted a wide receiver.
Unsure. They sure could have if he'll be able to play on Monday. So the wide receivers remaining on the Packers active roster are Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Malik Taylor, and Darius Shepherd, who was signed off of the practice squad last week. But good news for the Packers with all these injuries. They're hosting the Falcons this week.
Yeah, so the line is interesting. I stayed away from this line. It's fishy. It's only like 6.5. It was fishy to me. Atlanta can score. This game's going to be closer than you think. I wouldn't touch it, but this is one of the reasons why, is that they're beat up on the perimeter, and Atlanta can score.
Atlanta can score. Atlanta just can't hold a lead.
That's right. But it'll probably be a wildly entertaining game with Aaron Rodgers, and Matt Ryan's always played well against Green Bay, so it'll be a good game.
Sure, probably high scoring.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Packers despite the injuries. This is basically an injury update headline news, because we're going to talk about the Eagles now going winless in September. Definitely not their plan for 2020. They're dealing with a lot of injuries on the offensive side of the ball, but Carson Wentz is so confident they're only a few fixes away from getting back on track.
I think the biggest thing, I mean, there's no doubt about it, is just taking care of the football. We make some plays as a whole offensively. We do some really good things and move the ball, and then, you know, just the turnovers are really killing us. And I got to be better with that, and I know that, and it's something that I've looked into. I've, you know, critiqued myself hard, and I got to be better and kind of set the example on that front. But we're really not far off offensively.
I think they're farther off than he thinks.
I understand he's trying to remain positive, but they had one healthy receiver, Greg Ward, at practice yesterday. They're tied for the most interceptions. He is tied with Kirk Cousins for the most interceptions in the league. 63.9 passer rating is the lowest of all starting quarterbacks this season. They are 27th in points per game and 24th in yards per game through week three. And while they will be facing the Niners in San Francisco this weekend, it will be likely without Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
The Niners rolled the Giants last week.
Yeah. With about seven key injuries.
Yes.
The Jets at least have a little push last night. The Giants are not competitive. Giants are not even competitive.
The Jets had some push last night. They just fell apart at the end.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is looking like they're going to start the season 0-3-1.
Yeah.
I mean, what's remarkable is it's kind of the exact same story as last year with the wide receiver injuries. I mean, they have this, like, how many injuries in the wide receiver can you have? How many years in a row? It's bizarre.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what they were dealing with last year, having to sign guys off the practice squad.
It's nuts. It's just, I think it's messing with Wentz.
Yeah.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Joy talked about it earlier. Doc Rivers was unemployed for less than 3 days. He is now the coach of the Philadelphia 76ers, where he'll be empowered with a 5-year, very lucrative contract, telling Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, get your you-know-what together, because I now run the show. The previous coach was sort of lame duck and had no power. This is Ron Rivera. This is Billy Donovan. When you're good at your job and you're on the market, Andy Reid was once fired in Philadelphia. He had a really good job within 4 days. The Clippers owner, I'm told, Steve Ballmer, who can be very intense, obviously some ego and some alpha, went ballistic and had to be talked off the ledge. He wanted to trade or fire everybody. Understandable, high hopes, and to make it more infuriating, the LA Lakers, their rival, are going to win the championship. I'll say it again. Coaches keep getting fired because their stars unravel in the playoffs. I like Paul George, but the story here is a Paul George story, not a Doc Rivers story. Harden keeps getting coaches fired. Westbrook, Paul George. Frank Vogel got fired. Paul George was his guy, and now LeBron's his guy, and he is, what, 13-3 in the playoffs. Frank Vogel can coach when he's got Anthony Davis and LeBron James. It's nothing against Paul George, Westbrook, Harden. But this league tosses coaches aside when the players hit the side of the backboard shooting jumpers in the playoffs. Doc's going to win. He's going to flourish. And I don't think some of the Clippers' playoff issues, namely Paul George shrinking, are correctable. Eric Mangini, thoughts on the weekend, lives in Cleveland. He has thoughts on the Browns and the Cowboys showcase game coming up Sunday.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Can't wait for this. Eric Mangini, 3 years, Jets head coach, couple of years in Cleveland, Fox Sports NFL analyst. He knows all about the Jets, and he is now joining me live on a Friday. Love talking ball with a coach. Listen, we know the Jets are a mess. They were on display. They don't have a Pro Bowler. The Ravens had 12 last year. There's a talent issue too. What do you make of Darnold? Talk about Trevor Lawrence. You take him. What do you make of the whole scene with Darnold and the club?
Well, this whole situation is there's problems on a lot of different levels. You figure they started 1-7 last year, so historically. With Adam, they've started slow. They put a huge investment into the offensive line. They picked up two guards and a center and a tackle in free agency. They drafted a tackle, but yet they're almost last in the league in sacks allowed and don't run the ball very effectively. Almost close to last in that as well. And then there's the discipline issue in New York. When you're almost double plus in personal fouls, that's a problem too. So it's hard to really assess where Darnold is. But here's what I'll say. Quarterbacks are a little bit like GMs. GMs get to fire one head coach. They usually don't get to fire a second head coach. And quarterbacks are often like that as well. You know, they may outlive one head coach and get to the second head coach. But usually after that, you know, they're on their way out too. And you just haven't seen the type of development from Sam that you'd hope to. And my concern with him coming out of college is he was a 50-50 guy. He was almost the same amount of interceptions as touchdowns. And that's always a concern of mine in terms of overall decision-making.
Well, the opposite of that is Patrick Mahomes. I'm hearing things now. He's going to change the league. There'll never be anybody as good as Patrick Mahomes. What do you make of that?
Look, I saw that quote too, and it was, he's going to change the league, but he's like Dan Marino. He's going to change the league, but he's like all these historic quarterbacks. And it felt a little bit like I had to get into my DeLorean. You know what I mean? It's Back to the Future. And every single time someone's going to change, you know, Lamar Jackson's going to change the league. Deshaun Watson's going to change. Everybody's changing the league. Everybody's a once-in-a-generational talent. I really like what Patrick Mahomes has done. And is he changing the league? I don't know. He came into some pretty great real estate. You know, he had Alex Smith there to mentor him. He's got one of the best offensive head coaches that you could ask for in Andy. He's got some outstanding playmakers, arguably some of the best in the league. That's pretty great real estate to come in as a young guy. And I'm not trying to take anything away from what he's accomplished, but a context is always good as well.
I think New England is sort of built with Cam Newton power running to make things uncomfortable for Kansas City this weekend. What say you?
I absolutely believe that. Here's what I like about this game for New England is with Cam, they can create all the problems that Baltimore creates for people, and they've shown a willingness to do that in week one, but then they can throw the ball. They can get over the problems that Lamar Jackson has, where Cam was very efficient as a passer against Seattle. So they can create both of those problems for Kansas City. And it's not just good for Kansas City. It's good as they move forward. I was surprised by how well Cam has thrown the ball.
Yeah.
Especially coming off an injury. And I was equally surprised by how much New England was willing to run him in week one and use the quarterback-driven runs. When you combine those two things, it's a ridiculous problem for defenses.
You know, it's interesting. Dak, this is kind of interesting. Dak said, and Dak's not a guy that's going to stray away from what the owner and the coach says. Dak says, we want to get into track meets. We want to pass the football. So that tells me Mike McCarthy wants to pass the football too. And I just don't know if that defense should be on the field that much. What do you make of this idea that they want to play up tempo and fast all the time?
I think it's a bad idea. I went back and looked at it, and I went back to their 2016 season where they're 13-3. They're number three in the NFL in time of possession, okay? And that's huge. And we talked about that a lot during that season. Now, this year, they're 29th in time of possession.
Wow.
They average 107 yards per game rushing, And as much as we talk about their offensive line has changed significantly, and it's been a mixed bag. But you've got to help the offensive line by running the ball consistently. And when you have a defense that's struggling, you've got to play complementary football. You get in those track meets, and that day you're having an off day, it's a real problem for your defense. And when you start looking at this from only one lens, only the offensive lens, you're going to be exactly where Dallas is. Okay, they're 1-2, and they really should be 0-3. And it's not a formula that I think is sustainable for them.
By the way, yeah, Baker Mayfield, who I've always thought was a reach at number one, goes up against him this week. And I said, I think Baker's now, for the first time in his life, being coached perfectly, which is 23 throws a game, power run it, be complimentary. I think this Cleveland is really a good football team, potentially. Your thoughts?
This Cleveland has a chance to be a really good football team. Two outstanding running backs. A pretty good offensive line, yeah, yeah. A really good offensive line coach in Bill Callahan. They have a chance, if they'll commit to the run, of not only winning a bunch of games, but surprising a lot of people as well. It plays into what Baker does well, where he can build off the play action. It simplifies the coverages. It gives you a lot of eight-man boxes, so then you've got the receivers isolated outside. And my biggest fear for them is that the stars start complaining about not getting the ball enough, and they give into that. That is the wrong approach for them. Stay the course of what they're doing right now. Don't worry about the noise from the players who want the ball more. That program hasn't worked for them when they've conceded to the stars. This is a really good program that they have right now.
The shock of the league may be Josh Allen, Buffalo quarterback, his emergence. You know their offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll, really, really well. You've had him multiple times. Are you surprised by the emergence, or did you think it would always work?
Not surprised at all. Brian was my offensive coordinator in Cleveland, my quarterback coach in New York. He actually worked on the defensive side with me when he first came into the league. He was my assistant in the secondary. You can't kill Daboll with work. He is one of the hardest working guys I have ever seen, and I'll put him head to head against anybody. And then he's really bright, and he's got a different perspective, which helps a young quarterback, because he's not just teaching these guys about what they're doing offensively. He's helping them understand what they're seeing defensively, and not from a lens of I've only coached on one side of the ball. So I have a good idea. He's actually coached the other side of the ball and the secondary, so he understands how it works. And that, to me, is a huge, huge asset, especially for a young, emerging quarterback, to understand what they're looking back at and the why behind it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Brian Daboll, I was just saying this earlier. If I was the Jets and could get like an Urban Meyer or a Lincoln Riley or a Brian Daboll, I would be more prone to keep Darnold because I think they would elevate him. But if the Jets couldn't get like what I consider an A coach, then you go for Trevor Lawrence. Well, I mean, what would you do tomorrow if you were offered? If you were offered three firsts, 3 seconds, and to give up the Trevor Lawrence pick, like the number one Jet pick, and you could keep Darnold, you get 3 additional 1s, 3 additional 2s to go along with the 2 1s you have this draft and the 2 1s following. What would you do as a GM?
I mean, that's a lot of draft picks. That's a lot of years of service. You figure you had 5 years of service from all those first round draft picks. Yeah, it's a really hard question, Colin, because you never, ever, ever want to pass on a franchise quarterback. So if you have that conviction that he is your guy, he's your Peyton Manning, your Drew Brees, your Tom, if he's that guy to you, then you don't give it up no matter what's offered.
Yeah.
And if there's uncertainty, then you definitely take the picks and build the strongest team.
Good stuff, Coach. Good seeing you. Eric Mangini on a Friday. Thanks, man.
All right. Have a great weekend.
Yeah. It comes down to what's your conviction on Trevor Lawrence. If you think he's John Elway, you just take him. And if there's any doubt, you're like 75%, then you take the pick because you could get three firsts, 3 seconds, and maybe a number three corner. That's how good he is. CarShield.com, code HERD, CarShield.com. Get coverage today. See why cars with CarShield go further. Don't have anxiety when the check engine light comes on. You won't with CarShield.com, code HERD. Hour three next.